Hello, and welcome to View from the Bridge, episode 19, for the 4th of April 2006. Here at A View from the Bridge, we try to bring you all the news and views of the Coors Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. My name is Patrick Smith.
I'm Aaron Carnahan, and on this week's show, I look back at the last qualifying games for the playoff championships 2006, and I look forward to the playoff finals.
Of course, if you want to contact us here on A View from the Bridge, there are ways of going about it. You can send us an email at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
And of course, sign on to the website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
Well, some good news this week, Aaron. We had a couple of games following the last podcast against Coventry and Edinburgh that would define our playoff standings, and it worked out in our favour.
It certainly did. I think, as we mentioned during last week's podcast, the big one was going to be the game against Coventry. If we won that, that was us on our way. And we did.
Yes, a 7-3 win against our friends from south of England.
Middleish.
Midlands. And what I'm sure the Giants revelled in, seeing as it eliminated the Coventry Blaze and put us firmly into the playoff semi-finals in Nottingham.
Yeah, I mean, the team, you could tell that deep down they wanted to win it to get to the finals, but you could also tell that they really wanted to put Coventry out after sort of all the things that have gone on through the season, sort of involving Belfast and Coventry. I think they took great delight in it.
Mm-hmm. A 7-3 win, quite comprehensive.
Yep, a fantastic hat-trick from Curtis Hoppe. It was quite nervy to start with. The Giants just couldn't quite pull away. Every time they got a couple of goals, Coventry just pulled one back. It was a bit of slack play, really, from the Giants' defence. A bit of bad luck as well, and a few sort of bad bounces of the puck, and some good goals by some of the Coventry players. But I think all three of their goals were on the power play, so... You know, I think, to be honest, it just felt like we were going to win it. Maybe not 7-3, but the whole night it just felt like it was going to be our night for a change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was probably a game with the biggest amount of pressure this season. I know that the Cardiff game that we had where we were looking to win the league at home was a pressure game, but it wasn't a game in which it was all or nothing. This was a game that was all or nothing.
Yeah, I think both sides sort of agreed, or in their respective press and so on, that this was the game of the season. In fact, a quote that was attributed to Paul Thompson regarding the referee, also included those exact words. You know, this is the biggest game of the season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And thankfully for us, we had it at home, and a hat trick from Hoppe, goals from Skihar, Shields, Awada, and Jameson, all. To give us our 7-3 win. And the next night, the game against Edinburgh at home really didn't mean that much.
No, it was a bit of a dead game. There was the possibility that should we have beaten the Capitals, and then the Capitals had beaten Cardiff the following night, we might have snuck the win in the group. But, you know, really, to be fair, I don't think it was overly important. Giants started with Nathan Craze in goal. He played quite well. In my opinion, deserved to get another game. In the Odyssey especially, because he hadn't sort of played a game in the Odyssey in a while. And after sort of, with the Giants 7-3 up on Friday night against Coventry, he actually, Courtney, got him to get all the equipment on before changing his mind. And sort of leaving Mike Menard in the goal. But he got the start on Saturday night against Edinburgh and played very well, made some good saves. Was maybe a bit unlucky to not get a win, but it didn't really matter.
Well, they did pick up, Edinburgh did pick up their first point and their only point of the playoff campaign against us in a 3-3 draw. Still left them bottom of the group, unfortunately for them. But I'd say maybe they'd see their first season as being, well, okay, maybe not a success in terms that they finished bottom of both the playoff group and of the league championship, but not everybody can do a Newcastle.
No, I would say I would also agree that it has been a success to an extent. They battled hard, and they only really were confirmed to bottom of the league in the last couple of games of the season. They got some good wins, a few wins. I think they beat Sheffield early on in the season in the Challenge Cup, from memory. They beat Newcastle at the end of the season, which actually was the game that handed us the title. So they certainly picked up a few scalps along the way. And, you know, if you compare them to sort of the last real new team that was, or one of the last new teams that came into the league, which was London a few seasons ago, they had a much, much better season than London did at that stage. And London ended up being quite a competitive side after a couple of seasons. So.
Well, here's hoping that next season they'll be a lot more competitive. And again, once again, the Elite League will be very kind and schedule us a doubleheader.
Yep, and reading a few things at the minute about the likes of Ayr, maybe Ayr will be coming back and we can have a week-long trip to Scotland next year.
Or Fife. I'd love it. I would revel in another trip to Fife. Such an atmosphere.
I'm sure Fife would love to have us.
Such an atmosphere.
I believe that they've replaced the boards in Fife and they're actually considering putting plexi in as well.
Oh, the locals are not like that. None of these newfangled things. Real hockey, speed, skill, no violence or thuggery.
Oh, I remember my greatest memory of playing in Fife. Whenever Mel Engelstad, the quality player that he was, flicked the puck over the boards when we were under pressure in our own zone, they all started jeering and booing at him. Then Belfast were putting a bit of pressure on, you know, and Fife defensemen flipped the puck over the boards. Oh, it's great. Real British hockey.
Yeah, I think I forced a few of us under our feet in mock jeering, going, oh, this is ridiculous. You can't be playing like that. This is a rink. Good memories. And hopefully something we can repeat sometime in the future. But let's move on and enough of our reminiscing and look at how the playoff standings ended. Group A, Belfast Giants group, well, no surprise really, with their strong start, Cardiff Devils came out on top with 10 points there.
Yep, I'd say not a surprise. They really seem to have hit a good bit of form getting towards the end of the league season. Obviously, their win in the Challenge Cup maybe seems to have spurred them on a bit, actually, because it's really been since they picked that win up against Coventry that started turning in some very good results that I think we expected of them. We all thought they'd be a lot higher up in the league as the season went on. It'd be interesting to note that also once Ed Patterson stepped off the ice and quit his playing career and started coaching from the bench, they seemed to be playing an awful lot better.
Definitely. And the win over the Coventry Blaze put the Belfast Giants in the second place, Coventry third, and the Edinburgh Capitals in fourth with their single point. In playoff Group B, like I said last week, it was an altogether different prospect. What you had was Newcastle Vipers, who had already qualified with 9 points, and Sheffield, Nottingham and Basingstoke still fighting it out. There were a number of permutations that, well, meant that any of the three could have qualified. And in the end, it came down to a game between the Sheffield and Newcastle and Nottingham and Basingstoke last Sunday night.
And Sheffield were lucky, the luckiest really of those three teams in that it was in their hands. What they had to do was go out and win their game. Well, which was going to be tricky because it was in Newcastle.
Following their complete hammering with their friends up the M1, Nottingham, as Simsy puts it, Lower Parliament Street, or war-torn Lower Parliament Street, as it was put in power play this week, when they went there and hammered them 7-0, I think it kept it in their own hands. And like you say, a win against Newcastle, which is no easy prospect, would have put them directly into the semis.
Not too many teams went over to Newcastle this season and picked up wins. They were very, very strong in their own rank, so it was a tricky enough game.
Well, I was fortunate enough to travel up and sit with my Sheffield Steelers supporting friends in the Metro Radio Arena last Sunday, and we were getting updates from the Nottingham Basingstoke game, in which Nottingham ended up 3-1 winners, 2-1 winners.
I can't remember what they won anyway. Well,
they won the game. So it was all down, it was left all down to Sheffield to pick up the win, which they did in emphatic fashion.
Yep. Eventually, I think they had a few scary moments as the game went on, but I think they got there eventually.
It was an interesting game because Newcastle went out with only 10 skaters. They rested a lot of their players and a few of their players, rested a lot of their high profile players and, a number of them, like Krychek, were out with injuries. You could see that Newcastle came out. I'll talk briefly about the fact that Newcastle came out quite strong, but lost their discipline. You can see the fact that they're only playing two lines, that they struggled against a Sheffield team who were there to win the game. It was all on to Sheffield, and if you feel the ice an under strength side against a team who their season depends on this game, well, you know, I don't know what you expect.
No, I mean, at this stage of the season, it's kind of, you know, if you're Nottingham or Basingstoke, you might not be too pleased to see that kind of thing going on. If you're Newcastle, I can kind of understand, you know, they're qualified and they are looking towards the semi-finals and final. But for those other teams in the group, it maybe doesn't seem quite so fair.
The Newcastle fans felt aggrieved that by Moray Hansen, hands up, that he didn't referee that well. In my opinion, he refereed a very good game of playoff hockey that was fast, free-flowing and hard-hitting. But I was quite amused at the fact that a lot of the Newcastle fans were absolutely livid that they lost the game.
Yeah, I mean, what you tend to find is when you watch a game as a neutral, you can be a lot more objective about the referee's performance. And I know you're not technically a neutral.
I was about to say, I wouldn't say that I'm that much of a neutral when it comes to that game, but I did think...
You are able to sit back, I think, and sort of understand a bit more what the referee's calling. If you're not really, you know, passionately involved with one of the teams, I think you can be a bit more objective about what the referee's calling, and you're not really sort of seeing things from a biased opinion where everything goes against you and all that kind of thing. So you can kind of understand a bit more what's being called out there.
Yeah, but with regards to Steelers, I wouldn't say that I was biased or 100% behind the Steelers or 100% against the Vipers. Granted, I was looking for the Steelers to win and to get to the finals because I like to see the Steelers in the finals, and I have a lot of friends who are Steelers fans, and I was sitting with the Steelers, and maybe I got drawn into that as well. But, you know, I still thought it was a... Both sides did have their niggly parts, but that's what you get in the playoffs. It's like playing six games of overtime.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's sort of taking on from that, Hansen can't have done an awful lot wrong because he's been selected as one of the referees for the finals weekend.
Yes, but so is Mike Hicks.
Well, okay, fair point.
You know that, but I can't understand that when they're better referee. No offense to Mike Hicks. No, well, obviously, you can't really say no offense when I'm about to say the fact that I don't think he's one of the better referees of the league. And for him to be selected as a referee for the semi-finals is a very strange one. But we'll come on to that in a second when we talk about the semi-finals to come. In the, as we say, Sheffield ran out winners against the Newcastle Vipers despite some hairy moments, and, Group B ended up with the Vipers in first, Sheffield in second, and then the Nottingham Panthers only 1 point behind Sheffield 7 in third, and Basingstoke bringing up the rear in fourth. Poor Burnley, yeah?
Yep, disappointed for Burnley. Would have loved to have seen Burnley at the playoff finals, especially out on the ice. I can just imagine how much of a huff he would have if 7,000 people were shouting at him.
Burnie. Anyway, those players, let's have a quick look ahead, okay, to these playoff semi-finals this Friday. I travel down to lovely Nottinghamshire, to the capital city of Nottinghamshire, to Nottingham, and in order to get very drunk and watch ice hockey. But there's something else that's going on. It's the playoff semi-finals. And in the first semi-final, we have the Cardiff Devils against the Sheffield Steelers.
Yep.
Two teams that in the modern era of British ice hockey are probably deemed the most successful. Great history
certainly
behind
the Steelers.
Yeah, Devils as well. Both have won quite a bit in the last number of years. And both have won silverware this season.
Indeed.
So it'd be quite an interesting game. Devils are on a roll, and as much as I'd like to see the Steelers come out of that one well, my money would be on the Cardiff Devils.
I would go with that, although I have a funny feeling that we might not be enjoying that game so much, considering what we'll be waiting for a few hours later.
Well, you know, in between the two semi-finals is the real deal, is the real reason that the DIHL scheduled it for this weekend, because last September, scheduled for the very same weekend by pure chance, was the Nate Leslie Cup final.
Yep, which also happened to be in Nottingham as well. That's a huge coincidence.
It's an amazing coincidence. Well, it's, I have to say, you know, Eamon Convery phoned up, I hear, the Nate Leslie committee to find out where and when, and, you know, the IHL wanted to be there that same weekend because he knows that the crowds that the Nate Leslie Cup pulls in is,
one of the biggest crowds in all of British sport.
And with Belfast against London, we spoke about it last week, taking place at Bunkers in between the two the semi-finals. Come along, because, you know, get behind your team, or not
pick
your team,
team
pick, a, pick a team, pick Belfast and get behind them. And I know that an official announcement is to be made tomorrow. Well, or today, or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. But
Or last week,
or you've missed it.
2 months ago.
I hope you haven't missed it, because it's one of the biggest things in British sport. With it's the fundamental aspect of the paper, scissors, stone, iron.
It is, and you know, it's going back to man's basic instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Paper. To compete with his hands.
That's it. Paper. Paper beats. Enough. Paper beats stone. You know, scissors beat paper,
and stone beats scissors.
You know, and I know the Belfast team. I know because, well, I'm a member of the Belfast team. But I know that we've already been on our training course, and we're not afraid of London.
We certainly are not.
Mm.
We even may have a secret weapon in Oxford.
Well, why do we have a secret weapon in Oxford? Explain it to me.
Well, because he has a knife instead of scissors.
Very true. Very true. So, that's because, for anybody listening who doesn't know Oxford, Oxo does paper, scissors, knife because, he's missing a finger. So, I thought the need to explain that in case anybody thought they were going to come down the Bunkers on Saturday and get stabbed. You know, we're not going to, with that. Don't worry. Please come along because, we think it's going to be a great occasion for Belfast against London in the Nate Leslie Cup final. And then following that, I don't know how you can follow that, to be honest, but somehow, some way, following that, the IHL had to schedule in the second semi-final between the Newcastle Vipers, second place in the Elite League, and the Elite League champion, Belfast Giants.
Yep, and that's what I think the one we'll really be looking forward to. I don't know how we're going to keep our minds, you know, off paper, rock, scissors long enough to think about this second semi-final, but it's going to have to be done.
It's going to be a hell of a game, though, with it being basically first against second in the semi-final. Our last game against Newcastle, we lost. Newcastle been very, very strong in the postseason, and it's one that I've no reservations saying that I'm quite nervous about.
Yeah, Newcastle this season, they're rather close. They play a very, very physical style, which I think probably suits playoff hockey even more than it suited the league.
Mm-hmm.
They're very tough, you know, and they tend to wear teams, you know, the opposition down. Hopefully we can rise above that and progress to the Sunday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. On the Sunday, of course, you have the final of the two winners of the semifinal come to the final on the Sunday evening, and who knows who will get there because playoff hockey is unpredictable.
It certainly is, and of course, you know, in games like that, one-off games with that amount of pressure, with a sellout crowd of 9,000 or so. getting behind all sorts of teams and shouting all sorts of things. It can be pretty tough for the players.
Shouting all sorts of things, absolutely, because myself and quite a number, yourself and Marty and Mr. Mark Hitchcock and Davey, and we've all been in top form this season, singing, shouting, and chanting. But when it comes to playoffs, it's a whole different ballgame.
It certainly is. I mean, last year, thanks, of course, to the Newcastle United fans, we had the Tony Hand song.
Oh, you had to point at the Newcastle United fans, didn't you?
Of course I did.
We had the Tony Hand song, and which has actually developed over this season into the Stevenson Moore song. But this season we've...
The Stevenson Moore love-in, I think.
Don't talk to me. Stevenson Moore. Anyway, look.
It's Stevenson Moore.
It's Stevenson Moore. Yes, but this season's a whole different ballgame when it comes to the playoffs. And
it is, and I think we'll not give it away just yet, but we have Newcastle United fans to thank once again for,
yes,
I think, something that'll be getting its first few airings next week.
I think so, and...
Or this week, actually.
Well, it's this week. It's 3 days' time. In 3 days' time, I'll be drunk in Nottingham. It's going to be great. But in preparation of that, you'll understand Belfast fan, any Belfast fans are, but undo the when you go into Nottingham, undo the laces in your right shoe. That's all I'm saying.
And don't forget, and as we've mentioned already with the announcement of the referees for the finals weekend, hands up for Hansen.
Well,
unless he's doing our semi-final.
The fact is, let's just have a quick word about this. The Mike Hicks and Maury Hansen have been announced as the referees. Is that the referees just for the semi-final or for the whole weekend?
As far as I know, it's for the whole weekend. They'll obviously do a semi-final each, and then one of the two of them will do the final. I assume maybe the other will do the England-Scotland game, or possibly they'll have a younger, maybe Joey Topman, to the England-Scotland game.
Yeah. Why Mike Hicks? Why not Andy Carson or our good friend Nigel Boniface?
I have a funny feeling I can understand why Nigel Boniface.
I can understand that, but the exception of Andy Carson is quite baffling.
I honestly don't know. Maybe they put them in a hat this year.
Mike Hicks. Well, it'll be interesting to see Mike Hicks' performance this season as a referee. Haven't been as up to scratch, to be honest. Refereeing this season has been...
The problem I see with Hicks is just more a lack of experience.
Mm.
And he's not going to get the experience without getting the games.
Mm. True. No, don't get me wrong. I've seen Hicks do... I've seen Hicks referee some good games and referee them well. And big games as well. Sheffield Steelers-Panthers games last season, the first one of the season, in the Hallam FM Arena last season, he refereed superbly. But it's been a bit below par, and to bring him out for the big, big games is something that I don't know... Well, we'll see on Saturday, but...
We'll wait and see. In saying that, this could be his chance to, you know, to make the step up to the next level.
Mm. Possibly.
As far as Maury Hansen's concerned, I would think that the majority of us would be in agreement that over the season he's probably been the most consistent of the referees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say best, because none of them are good. And that's the problem that you have as a fan. The referee's never good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's probably been the most consistent and possibly, you know, one of the most respected by coaches and fans alike.
Yep. And hopefully he'll be refereeing. Hopefully we'll go to the Sheffield Cardiff game and see Mike Hicks refereeing that one. Because that will mean Maury Hansen will be refereeing ours, and that's something that I'd prefer to see. Alright, we're coming towards the end of the show, and but before we go, a few more things to talk about. The playoff finals, if you're not going to be in Nottingham this weekend, of course, you can actually watch the games being streamed live online, Aaron.
Yep, www.icehockeyleague.co.uk. £10, roughly, I think. I don't know if they've advertised an exact final price yet, which will basically get you access to all four games of the weekend from the comfort of your own your own study or living room or wherever you happen to sit with your laptop in the house.
Well worth watching, because the playoff finals weekend is always produces some great hockey, and I'm sure that this season will be no different. And again, before we go, it's awards season, and Aaron, on Friday evening, you had the privilege with Nev to present Theo Fleury with the greatest award of his hockey playing career.
Well, I would say I'll certainly be taking pride of place in his cabinet, or above maybe his mum and dad's mantelpiece, back over in Canada, the Kingdom of the Giants 2005-2006 MVP award.
Yes, Theo Fleury apparently scored twice as many votes as anyone else being voted for.
And, yep, and I would say it'd be rightly so.
Mm-hmm. But his awards didn't end there this season. Of course, they're not in any way going to be half as good as the Kingdom of the Giants award, which outranks anything he's ever won. But he was also, just yesterday, awarded with the British Ice Hockey Writers Association 2006 Player of the Year.
Yep, and I'm sure, again, that can't be argued with.
Mm-hmm.
Top point scorer in the league by a good long way, near in the top five, I think, for penalty minutes as well.
maybe that says something, the fact that he is top five in penalty minutes, but can still be top scorer of the league.
And in a lot less games played as well.
A lot less games played, shows you the class. And I'm sure a lot of Coventry fans will agree with this. Also, the British Ice Hockey Writers Association named their two All-Star teams of the season, which included five Belfast Giants players.
Yep. Our netminder Mike Menard was in the second team.
Indeed, along with Todd Kelman and George Iwata.
Yep.
And in the first team you had Theo Fleury and Ed Courtney on the forward lines, along with Evan Chevrier from Coventry. Fantastic result for these guys.
Yeah, and saying that, that would be quite a nice line to have up front for us next season. I wonder if we can tempt him across the Irish Sea.
Let's see what we can do, yeah. Let's see what we can do. The also an awards handed out last night by the British Ice Hockey Writers Association was the Vic Batchelder Memorial Trophy for the best British under 21 player, which went to Belfast Nathan Craze. Fantastic reward for Nathan.
It is indeed, and well deserved, to go with his tournament MVP from the GB under 20s tournament that was held out in Romania.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And picked up the gold medal.
And a league winner's medal for Nathan as well.
Indeed.
So a successful season. And who knows?
And indeed, looking back over that award's only been given out really for three seasons now. But looking back, we've had now, of those three seasons, two of them have gone to Belfast Giants players.
Indeed. Indeed, Lee Jameson being the other winner.
And then, of course, Danny Mayers, I think, of Bracknell, picked it up last season.
Mm-hmm.
But it's come back to Belfast this season. Once more to go back to the MVP award. I think that was the third season in a row that a Belfast Giant has won the league MVP.
It is, and it's the fourth time in five seasons, and we've only been around for six. So
it's not bad going. I mean, it says that, you know, it's good to see such class of player playing here.
How much sway do you think Nigel Ringland has? The British Ice Hockey Writers Association have awarded the MVP to Belfast four times in the last five seasons, with Kevin Riel, Jason Ruff, Tony Hand, and now Theo Fleury winning the award.
Of course, Nigel must not have been quite so persuasive last season, because I think Tony Hand had to share the award with Neil Martin.
He did have to share, but rightfully so, because Neil Martin was fantastic last season. But Theo Fleury picking up awards across the board, and who knows? I'm not saying anything, but who knows? On that bombshell, I think it's time to end this show, because in 72 hours' time, I'll be in Nottingham, and I'll be drunk. And you're not arriving till Saturday, so ha-ha.
At the minute, I'm not arriving until Saturday.
Good, change your mind. You're going to head over on Friday and join the party.
I think the EasyJet server is currently ready to crash.
Well, we'll be back next week with a roundup of how the playoff weekend went and exactly how hungover I am. As will you, Aaron?
Well, I don't drink.
Yes, well, if I believe that.
The videos of me skipping along the street do not exist.
Yeah, don't flip. There were some videos taken last year, I tell you, they'll be seen this year. But in fact, I think next week I might actually put together an MP4 version of the podcast that will include photographs from playoff weekend. So if you use iTunes or an iPod photo, you might be in for a treat. So, on that, of course, if you want to contact us on A View from the Bridge, you can contact us on podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
And, of course, on the website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
We will see you next week here on A View from the Bridge.
Speak to you next week with our season roundup. Goodbye.
Bye.